There was a long silence. All the soft rays filtering into the great hall seemed to concentrate on Mrs. What's-It, Mrs. Who, and the faint light that must be Mrs. Which. No one spoke. One of the beasts moved a tendril slowly back and forth across the stone tabletop. At last, Meg could stand it no longer, and she cried out despairingly, "Then what are you going to do? Are you just going to throw Charles away?" Mrs. Witch's voice rolled formidably across the hall.
"Silence, child!"
But Meg could not be silent. She pressed closely against Aunt Beast, but Aunt Beast did not put the protecting tentacles around her. "I can't go," Meg cried. "I can't, you know I can't."
"Did anybody ask you to?"
The grim voice made Meg's skin prickle into goose flesh. She burst into tears. She started beating at Aunt Beast like a small child having a tantrum. Her tears rained down her face and spattered Aunt Beast's fur. Aunt Beast stood quietly against the assault. "All right, I'll go," Meg sobbed. "I know you want me to go." "We want nothing from you that you do without grace," Mrs. What's-It said, "or that you do without understanding." Meg's tears stopped as abruptly as they had started. "But I do understand." She felt tired and unexpectedly peaceful. Now the coldness that under Aunt Beast's ministrations had left her body had also left her mind. She looked toward her father, and her confused anger was gone, and she felt only love and pride. She smiled at him, asking forgiveness, and then pressed up against Aunt Beast. This time, Aunt Beast's arm went around her. Mrs. Witch's voice was grave.
"What do you understand?"
"That it has to be me. It can't be anyone else. I don't understand Charles, but he understands me. I'm the one who's closest to him. Father's been away for so long, since Charles Wallace was a baby. They don't know each other. And Calvin's only known Charles for such a little time. If it had been longer, then he would have been the one, but... Oh, I see. I see. I understand. It has to be me. There isn't anyone else." Mr. Murray, who had been sitting, his elbows on his knees, his chin on his fist, rose. "I will not allow it."
"Why?"
Mrs. Witch demanded.
"Look, I don't know what or who you are, and at this point I don't care. I will not allow my daughter to go alone into this danger." "Why?"
"You know what the outcome will probably be. And she's weak now, weaker than she was before. She was almost killed by the black thing. I fail to understand how you can even consider such a thing." Calvin jumped down. "Maybe it's right about you. Or maybe you're in league with it. I'm the one to go if anybody goes. Why did you bring me along at all? To take care of Meg, you said so yourself." "But you have done that," Mrs. What's-It assured him.
"I haven't done anything," Calvin shouted. "You can't send Meg. I won't allow it. I'll put my foot down. I won't permit it."
"Don't you see that you are making something that is already hard for Meg even harder?" Mrs. What's-It asked him. Aunt Beast turned tentacles towards Mrs. What's-It. "Is she strong enough to test her again? You know what she's been through." "If Witch takes her, she can manage," Mrs. What's-It said. "If it will help, I could go too and hold her." Aunt Beast's arm around Meg tightened. "Oh, Aunt Beast," Meg started. But Mrs. What's-It cut her off. "No, I was afraid not," Aunt Beast said humbly. "I just wanted you to know that I would." Mrs. What's-It? Mr. Murray frowned and pushed his hair back from his face. Then he shoved with his middle finger at his nose, as though he were trying to get spectacles closer to his eyes. "Are you remembering that she is only a child?"
"And she's backward," Calvin bellowed. "I resent that," Meg said hotly, hoping that indignation would control her trembling. "I'm better than you at math, and you know it."
"Do you have the courage to go alone?" Mrs. What's-It asked her. Meg's voice was flat. "No, but it doesn't matter.